Bible this morning. We are in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We've been talking about Christ. And in 5 weeks, we're going to celebrate the resurrection, the Easter. And, you know, it's an amazing thing that for a couple thousand years now, folks have gotten together. The Church of Christ has been established. Just who is Jesus, this man that had a dad named Joseph and a mother named Mary, and on face value, his brothers and sisters thought he looked just like them, and he did. He had some strange behavior, though. He never sinned. He never lied. He never took something he wasn't supposed to. I imagine his other brothers and sisters didn't really care for that part of him a great deal. I would think his parents would say, "Why can't you be like Jesus?" You know, and we're still saying that, and we're not very good at it. But that was the life and what he grew up in. And so I want us to know who Christ is. And John is a great book for a study in Christ. Why don't you stand with me, please? And we will read John chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. And the Bible says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word this morning. And Lord, we thank you for our Savior, the light of the world. And Lord, as we focus on that truth this morning, I pray that you are illuminating yourself to us through truth, through your word, through our testimonies. I pray that people that encounter us will see the light of Christ in us. So, Lord, teach us your word this morning as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John 1:9 in our text says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Now, we started on this study last Sunday. We said three things about who Jesus was. The Bible starts in the beginning, and Christ was before the beginning, as strange as that sounds. He was the creator. Everything you and I see, Jesus did the work. He was the creator. Without him was not anything made that was made. And also, he is the creator of life. And that's what we really focused on last week, was the fact that without him, there is no life. And as he created us, he knew that we were going to be a disaster. He knew that we would choose sin. He knew that he would have to die on a cross because of us. But he did it anyway. And we made the statement last week when you and I say, "Had I only known, I never would have." Jesus never said that, because he did know, and he did it anyway. So here we are this morning looking more into his life, and he says this statement, "That was the true light." The Bible says that, and when considering light, you can't know light without knowing darkness. You can't know day without knowing night. The two are opposite of each other, and there's a lot of times in life where we'll look at a situation and the expression will be, "Boy, that's a dark situation," or "Those are really dark people." There was a movement years ago, not that long ago, where there was this people putting on black fingernail polish, and they were living this dark life, and they wear dark makeup, and maybe it still goes on. I don't hang out with that crowd, so you could let me know, but maybe they're still out there. But, you know, that just seems so strange to me that someone would want to emphasize darkness. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Black light was big. You know, I mean, if you want to really have fun, you need to put in a couple of black light bulbs. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of strange. What's black light? How can light be black? Well, you could. Your t-shirt was whiter, your teeth were whiter. It did something to the whatever it was. And I don't even know if you can still buy a black light bulb anymore. But that was part of the things going on. So obviously when it comes to light and black and all those things, those are recognizable things to us. There is darkness that is talked about. There is a great long period in history known as the Dark Ages, because good things weren't happening in the Dark Ages. There's also the Dark Web. If you get behind the pages on your computer, which I don't even know how to get into the pages on my computer, but they tell me behind all that is just this Dark Web going on in there. And whatever, I don't know, I'm lost. And I'm your leader. That's not good. So the darkness that takes place. Some of the verses that Jesus said in the book of John, I'll read you three of them. John 8:12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 9:5 says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." John 12:46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So what does light show us? Well, now, obviously, when we have the lights on here this morning, everything is well illuminated. That is physical light. You and I can see things. We can tell darkness from light. That's all physical things. But in the spiritual dimension, in the emotional dimension, in our spirit, in our heart, there is a recognition of a darkness that goes on in the world that when we encounter it, we can almost feel it, though you won't see it. Does that make sense? There's a dimension out there. You say, boy, something's not right here. Ever walked into a room and you knew something's not right? There's a spirit going on there, and I'm not going, ooh, none of that. Like, it's not that. But you can just sense, boy, I don't know that I want to be here. And I've been in those situations. I would expect that you have. And whenever you have that feeling, I recommend a U-turn and get out of there, wherever it is, because there's something dark going on, because God gives us an ability, a sense, to know right from wrong. It's the light that he reveals to us, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of darkness going on in the world, a lot of fake news, okay? Now, fake news is really, if you will, the dark side trying to overtake the good side and get their agenda to go in a direction it does not belong in. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So how do we know that? The truth is illuminated by the light of God. So number one, the light does three things for us. Number one, I'm going to give you three T's. Number one is the light of truth. You ought to know right from wrong. I need to know right from wrong. Say that with me. I need to know right from wrong. Now, when you're young, you don't know that. You're little. I grew up with a wood stove in the house. You get over, you feel it, you want to touch it. Your parents would go along, no, don't do that. They'd slap your hand. Every now and then... Little inside story about what it was like to grow up in the Griffin household. My Uncle Pete is here, probably the same way in his house. If we wanted something and we reached for it over my father's plate, my father would say, if you do that again, you'll pull back a bloody stub. Yeah, that's what he's, okay? Now, obviously, that would never happen, but that was just the way Griffins talked, okay? Well, the reality of it is there are times where when you're young, you don't know right from wrong. Someone points it out to you. As you get older and you recognize truth, you become to know more right from wrong. And I want you to know Satan is subtle, and he will muddy up the water on what's right and what's wrong. And the world wants you to know, Satan wants you to think there's no real right, there's no real wrong, it's only mostly gray. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not what my Bible teaches. That's not true light. So number one, light reveals the truth. John chapter 1. If you've got your Bible this morning, now there's a reference Bible called the Thompson Chain. Have you heard of Thompson Chain? You can make your own chain reference Bible if you care to. I'll show you how to this morning. If you go to your Bible, you're in John chapter 1. Take a look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, on verse 14, what you would do is you'd write a 17 under 14, and then you'd go over to verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then you'd write 321 under verse 17, and you're building this little chain. And so then you would go to verse 321, and the Bible says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And then under verse 21, you would write 424. Now we'll go over to 424 in your Bible. In John chapter 4, what's that? Slow down? Yeah, I'll do this later. All right, fine. Yeah. 424 after 321. In 424, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Under 424, you're going to write 832. So then you go over to 832. Now, come on, folks. Stick with me now, okay? In verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Under 832, you're going to put 14:6. We're still building our chain here, okay? Chapter 14, verse 6. You know John 14:6. It says it on all the cornerstone pans. I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus said that. And then under 14:6, you're going to write verse 14:17, and this is the last one. Every spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Okay? Once you see the light of Christ, that light illuminates you and it illuminates truth around you. And I don't know if you've been a Christian long enough, one of the things that you gain from this, is that I don't know all of this book. I'm still learning. I will always be learning. I am not a Bible scholar. I'm a college dropout. I did go through high school, but it was a small private school, and I don't know how great the education was. However, it's closed now, so I can talk about it all I want. So here it is. So I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I believe that if you hang out with Christ in this book long enough, he starts to give you a certain amount of discernment. Say that with me, discernment. Now, I want you to know that I feel like discernment in the Christian church today is dead, and it should not be. And when you get around false teaching or someone spreading an untruth, or another word would be a lie, there should be discernment enough in your spirit to recognize that I don't know that this is right and I don't know that it's wrong, but something doesn't smell right. A while ago, I'm not one to throw away food. Now, Scott Searles, he does. Scott doesn't eat leftovers. If you're having leftovers, Scott's not coming. I'm just letting you know, if you're inviting him over, don't say, hey, come on over, we're having leftovers. You better be fixing something fresh for Scott, all right? Now, for me, I grew up where food is food, and I'm eating it. Now, I'll eat something that's even a little bit funky, okay? Emily will say, I think that needs to go. I said, no, we ain't throwing that out. I'll eat that, and I do. So we had some olives in the back of the refrigerator a long time ago, and so I like olives, but they'd been there a while, and I'm thinking, olives can't go bad. They're in vinegar or whatever it is. How could they go wrong? I want you to know, long story short, olives can go bad, all right? So So I popped the lid on that thing. I looked at them, and they're a little bit funky looking. They smelled a little odd, but I'm thinking, well, I got to eat them. We can't just throw them out. So I did, and I regret that even now. And I remember it, okay? Now, sometimes you'll get into something where you don't know if it's right, and you don't know that it's wrong, but you can tell it's kind of funky. Watch out for that stuff. Do not commit yourself to something you're not sure of. God will reveal the truth to you. He does that through his light because he is the light. Does that make sense? So number one, I get truth from the light. Number two, I get a testimony. I get the word. Let's go to John chapter 8. Obviously, most everything we're doing is John chapter 8. I'm going to give you these principles, and then I'm going to tell you a story to illustrate it to you. And hopefully it'll make sense to you. John chapter 8, I get the word. In verse 44, Jesus is preaching one of those seeker-sensitive services, okay? Not. You're your father, he's speaking to the Pharisees, you're your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's Satan. Satan is a liar. Say that with me. Satan is a liar, okay? But verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. The truth comes from Christ. Lies come from Satan. It's as black and white as that. There is no truth in Satan. He cannot think it. He's incapable of doing it. He's pure evil. You and I understand God's Word. We get the light of God's Word. This book right here is revealed to us through the light of Christ that abides in us. This book is spiritually discerned. For instance, before you met Christ, you read a lot of these things and you think, boy, this doesn't make sense, doesn't make sense, doesn't make sense. But once you accept Christ, then it's like all of a sudden, wow, I didn't get that. When I was in sixth grade, I had a teacher called Mrs. Curry. Mrs. Curry was a wonderful person, but she didn't have a lot of patience for me. And it's a mystery to me. I'm still struggling with it. But Mrs. Curry would explain something to me in the class that she was teaching, and I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. And so me being the student that I was, I'd always raise my hand, and I had three words for her. I don't get it. And I don't get it. That's four. See? I don't get. How's that? All right. Obviously, this isn't in my notes. So edit that part there, Lee, when you get the tape. All right. So I don't get it. All right. Four words. I'd raise my hand. I got four words. I didn't say that. And she looked at me and she said, Stanley, when I had my hand up, Stanley, you're going to look at me and say, I don't get it. And if you were paying attention, you would have gotten it the first time. I didn't feel the love in that. But in my defense, she would just explain it a little bit more. And all of a sudden, the light would come on. And I'd raise my hand. Okay, I get it now. I'd shut her off because I didn't want her to waste any more of her precious time. I understood it, you know, and said, okay, I get it now. And she couldn't understand why I didn't get it before, but there would be something that would click in me, and all of a sudden I'd get it. Is there anybody else here like that? Does that ever happen to you? Do you all of a sudden the click comes on? Thank you, Mr. Moody. Appreciate that. I have one hand in the back. God bless you, my son, okay? So it does. It's like the light comes on. Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to the principles of the Word of God, God sheds a light on that when you believe. And there's no light before you believe. But we can all testify that this book makes so much more sense now that I believe than before. Isn't that true? Because the light is shed on it. So I get truth, I get a testimony, I get God's Word, and lastly, I get the translation. Now, translation, if you look in your Bible, you're looking in an encyclopedia, you and I recognize translation as being from Greek to Latin to Hebrew to Mandarin Chinese to whatever translation you want to go to, but that's not the first use of translation. Translation in your dictionary is actually moving from point A to point B. You and I are translated when we die from earth to heaven. Let me show you where that takes place in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. You don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. His translation was because he had a testimony that he pleased God. You and I have the truth, we have a testimony, and we have a translation. The translation is, as we sang in our worship service this morning, I am going to go to heaven someday, and I'm looking forward to going. And I don't know about you, the older we get, the more friends we have over there and the fewer we have over here. And we're looking forward to being there. And so we have a translation. So that's what the light does for us. And in the time that we have, I'm going to tell you a story. Go with me to John chapter 9. I'm going to illustrate to you how light comes on and how Jesus is the one that allows us to see. And I think John chapter 9 is one of the best stories that we could illustrate this principle in. In John chapter 9, Jesus is walking along. The disciples are walking along, and they come across this man. The Bible says it was born blind from his birth. Whatever happened, when he was born, he could not see, had never seen. He was born blind from his birth. So Jesus walks along, and they see him, and the disciples, being those spiritual, discerning individuals that saw that this man was a broken individual, looked and said, "Lord, who sinned here, him or his parents, that he was born blind?" We have to blame somebody. Isn't that how it is today? We got to blame somebody. And so they looked at him, and Jesus said, "Neither was this man born blind, neither have they sinned, but that the works of God could be shown manifest in him, so that God's light could shine in his life." And let me just throw it to you right now. Whatever circumstance you are going through right now, there is a distinct possibility that God wants his light to shine in your life. And without that problem, it probably won't happen. Now, how many will admit, if you'll think about it, if you played sports in high school, or you had did any form of athletics, or if you were in any kind of competition whatsoever, what lessons did you learn the most from? The ones where you won or the ones where you lost? Lost. I still remember the losses. I don't really remember the victories. I remember the losses. Wham, wham, wham. I know you feel bad. I can see the empathy in your eyes. But the reality of it is, we don't learn a lot in the good times. Sorry, we don't. We learn in the tough times. And this guy's laying there, sitting there, blind from his birth, now an adult, so that Jesus could pass by. Question: is God in any hurry to handle your situation? No. I know that's not what you wanted to hear. Here he is, all of his life, until an adult, blind, sitting there, waiting for God to come by. Jesus is coming by. All through his teen years, whatever age he was, I wish I could see. He had finally given up thinking he could never see. And Jesus comes by, and he says in John chapter 9 and verse 4, "Must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." There's that darkness principle. The time's going to come when the light will be gone. All there will be is darkness, and you won't have any more time. The night comes when no man can work. In verse 5, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Now, this is the craziest thing. Now, had I been gifted as a healer, which I'm not, in fact, is I've never met one. I've met some people that said they were, but I've never met one, okay? I would have just walked by and waved my hands and, you remember Ernest Ainsley? Now, this is going way back. So, no, some of you new believers don't really remember him, but he had a wonderful ability to do certain things that were probably not true. But anyway, he would heal folks like that, and they things would happen, and people would send money, and it was quite effective. So there is this Jesus comes by, though, and not only is he not in any hurry, number two, he's not going to operate in the way that you think he should, because he spits in the ground, makes some mud, jams it in his eyes. Folks, there's better ways of doing things. And I've told God many times, "Lord, there's better ways for you to operate than the way you're doing it right now." And he hadn't really listened to me. And he says, he's really probably saying, "When you start listening to me, I'll start listening to you." Just thought. So he makes this mud, puts it in his eyes, tells him to go rinse, and he goes and he washes and he comes back seeing. And I want you to know that God, through the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, still makes blind eyes see. And I'm not talking about physical sight. The greatest sight you can ever have isn't the light in this room and the people that I'm looking at. The greatest sight you can have is seeing the things of God clearly. And that man came back and he could see. Now that was impressive. God is able. Say that with me. God is able. Number one, his story is believable. they saw this, and then all of a sudden people are seeing that this guy could see now, and they're all talking, hey, isn't that the guy's born blind? No, that couldn't be him, because that guy could see. The blind man, I know who the blind man was, but this guy could see, couldn't be him. And they were divided as you go down through. The neighbors, therefore, in verse 8 said, which had seen him, said, this is blind, is not this the guy that sat and begged? Some said, this is others. Some said, he's like him. But he said, hey, it's me, it's me, it's me. And they didn't believe him. Don't you love that? So they go on a little bit further, and not only is it believable, your story in Christ can be believable, it's also observable. We got a changed man here. And the greatest thing you can have for a testimony for the Lord is a changed life. You know, I'm sick and tired up to here of folks that want to pray a sinner's prayer and continue to live just the way they were so they get to go to heaven. That doesn't cut it, folks. When Christ comes into your life and he sheds the light of the gospel onto you, you become a changed person. People should be saying, you're not who you used to be. Not because you're trying to get attention, but God makes something special on you and he changes your life. Not only is your job, your testimony believable, it's observable. And not only that, though, it can cause trouble. Don't you think for a second when you come to the Lord that all of your problems are over. They've only just begun. No, Stan, that's not very well. Now look, heaven is our home. We got a lot to look forward to. But if you think coming to Christ is just all of a sudden heaven on earth, this panacea that things are going to be wonderful, that is not how it is. This is a tough world. It's a sinful world. And people will mock you and laugh at you when you start talking about Jesus. But you know what I recommend? Just keep talking about Jesus. Because it's worth it. And so, they go on in the story, and if you look at verse number 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. And others said, how can a man that is sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. It's believable, observable. I don't know if it works or not, but it's divisible. It divides. I'll talk to my wife later and find out if that's correct or not. And verse number 35 to 38, and we're done. John chapter 9. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified, and said unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And therefore they sought to take him, and he escaped out of their sight. So here we are, and the light of Christ shines on us, changes our lives, and gives us a hope for heaven. Now, my question for you as we finish is, what can you see? Do you see a dark world around you? Do you see a lot of false lies and untruth going on? Do you see a world that's just trying to dupe you, if you will, and get you to go along with whatever it is that they're selling? And do you see a Savior that loves you and wants to be a part of your life? And I don't know of... There's so many reasons for this gospel to work. And one of the things that I love about my Bible and the story of Jesus Christ and the fact that he's the light of the world is this makes sense to me. I'm serious. This story of Christ creating us, coming down to live with us, to show himself to us, to die in my place, to rise again, to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven, ever making intercession for us, watching for us, pulling for you, wanting to hear from you, loving you, caring about you. When I hear all of those things, folks, that story makes sense to me. And if it makes sense to you, then God has revealed light to you. If it doesn't make sense to you, then I worry for your future, because the Bible is a revealed book to revealed people, shown by the Spirit of God, by the light of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we love you. We believe in you. And now, Lord, here we are at the end of another Sunday morning service. We have sung your songs. We have looked into your word. And as the songwriter writes, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. And Lord, there could be people here today that are confused, that are wondering about life, that they're wondering when they die if they're going to go to heaven. Is there any guarantees in life? Will I ever be happy? And Lord, those questions are real and they are genuine. But we can say without doubt on the authority of the Word of God that faith and trust in Jesus Christ gives us a promise that the world cannot possibly give to us and it cannot take away. And Lord, if there are those here today that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, I pray that right now they'd be willing to do that. Just pray and ask you, Lord, you're wanting so much to hear from them. Lord, perhaps there are folks that are still confused and wondering and have questions. Lord, we believe that you can reveal answers to them if they just believe. They can come and talk to Scott or Mark or myself or one of the ladies. And questions could be answered. Truth could be discovered. But Lord, it all starts in wanting you in our lives. If we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says we can be saved, saved from a lying, sinful world, saved from eternal punishment away from God, saved for a home in heaven. So, Lord, I pray that every person here has said at some point, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. If not, I pray they'd say those words right now. And then, Lord, for us as Christians, Lord, I pray that we would live a life that pleases you with truth, with a testimony, looking forward to heaven. Lord, thank you that you can make blind eyes see. As we open the altar, we give folks a chance to respond. However you've spoken to us, Lord, this morning, shed your light on us, please. In Jesus' name, amen.